It's Phyllis here. I'm just going to check with Hayley that you can hear me, and then we'll get underway. Feels like forever since I've been on. That's what having a good 10, 12 day holiday does for you. Being away and not being available has been fantastic. Righty, so Hayley, can you hear me? Is that Damien coming on now?
Yep, it's me.
Awesome.
We're just starting.
Just starting.
Awesome. How good is that? Good timing.
Oh, great. So I was just checking that they can hear me, and yes, they can. So let's get going.
Okay. Is that a G or an M?
Yeah, I did the English one because I like it.
Are we on the audio?
Pardon? Yes, I've done that. I'm very organised.
Are you recording?
Oh, yes, wow. I'm recording. Yeah, amazing.
Wow.
Alrighty.
Good choice.
Yeah, I know, choice. Right. I chose that. The Wellness Guys did a recording with, I think his name is it Drew Manning?
Fat Fit.
Yes, I didn't listen to the call, to be totally honest, but I did download his book onto my Kindle, and while I was away, I skim read it. Interesting. Pardon?
Oh, no, I just said,
okay. Well, there was some interesting stuff in there. So I thought choices would be a great topic, because I think one of the things that he really pointed out is going from somebody who's always been slim, fit, healthy, and health-focused, as well as weight-conscious, he didn't realise and understand how many choices that people who carry weight and are unhealthy make just in sometimes a moment-by-moment, hour-by-hour, day-by-day basis. And I think one of the keys is minimising the amount of choices that you actually end up having to make. So, if you're tired and you haven't prepared food, you have a choice whether, you go prepare it or you, fall off the wagon, as some people call it, and go off and get a takeaway or something that, reach for the biscuits or the chips or whatever it is. So one of the key things I think that I picked up from the book, although he talked about it but didn't go into too many depths, but, is limiting the amount of choices that you actually have to make. So you're not setting yourself up to constantly be in that state of having to choose all the time, and therefore what happens is by the end of the day you feel like, a lot of people feel like they're failures because they just feel like they don't have enough willpower, and it's just because they've been putting themselves in situations where they have to make a choice constantly. Does that make sense?
Makes heaps of sense. I love it. I think it's really, really good. And I really enjoyed actually interviewing Dean. I thought it was really cool. He had a lot of insights. And one of the things, there's quite a few things that he actually said in the interview that blew me away and helped me understand more of what many people might go through when they're in that journey of losing weight and getting the health back on track. It was incredible. But to talk about choices, a lot of people, when they walk through the supermarket, put so many things into their shopping trolley that they create a bucket load of choices for themselves when they get home. And what I find interesting is that it's often tougher to crave the good stuff than it is to crave the bad stuff. But it's the bad stuff that you'll make the first choice to eat in the first place if you've got the bad stuff there when you're looking. So if you haven't got the bad stuff there when you're looking, then the choice that you've got to make is, I can't really bother making something healthy. And it's probably unlikely that you will. You just push on through. You might do something different. You might just make yourself a cup of tea or have a glass of water or something like that. And all of a sudden, you don't have to make a bad choice. So it's about making your environment safer, which we've spoken about before, haven't we, fellas?
But I also think, that people don't want to put themselves in the same sort of thing we're talking about, but I can visualise the person feeling like a ball in one of those pinball machines, and they're just going from, place, because you said you could do this, or you could do that, or you could do that, or you could do that, the water, the tea, or whatever. But if you don't actually sit down and make a structured plan to avoid having to make those snap decisions, because, we are like rubber, we want to go back to what we're used to. Of course you're going to reach for, if Coke's been the thing you've been drinking, and you have a chemical reaction to that anyway, so you not only have the choice thing, but you actually have addiction things, the less that you let yourself be flung around and actually set yourself up so you've got your water prepared and you've worked out how much you do need to drink in a day, and therefore when you're thirsty, the water's there, you're going to drink it. So you don't have to make such a choice. You know, the pressure's not on, so what am I going to do?
Yeah.
The other thing you talked about too, and I think as people work their way through minimising the amount of choices that they have to make, he talked about, and you might be able to expand on this because, like I said, I've only skim read it and I did not listen to the call, but he talks about becoming what he calls an actualised person, and I talk about it as owning it on a cellular level. So when you see somebody who their life is about exercise, it's just part of who they be. They do it like they do brushing their teeth. You know, they wouldn't leave home without brushing their teeth, let alone going a day without exercising. So that's what I'm presuming when Drew talks about being an actualized person. I'm saying, you know, you own it on a cellular level. It's just who you are. So the thing is that the more that you do it, and the less that you minimize that ping pong around thing that happens to you by all the choices you have to make in the day, the less choices you have to make, the more that you do the thing that you want to do. The more that you become the person that you want to be.
Wow, I reckon you're going to have to replay that one, everyone, so you get to understand what the heck Phyllis was talking about. But it makes great sense. It's interesting because what Drew actually is going through now is massive challenges with his mindset, because he has constant cravings for the bad food that he had to eat for that first 6 months to put all the weight on. So he has these constant cravings, even though he's now over 12 months beyond where he, you know, where he started, you know, putting the weight on. 12 months since he lost all his weight, he still craves all the crap. And chemical psychological reaction. It's the psychosomatic reaction. But what's really amazing is that he has all the discipline. He's got all the strategies. He's done it all before. He knows how to be healthy. He knows what to listen for when you get to the signals for craving and all that sort of stuff. But he now craves all the bad stuff. Somebody the other day, after 12 weeks, was really quite distressed that they were craving bad food. 12 weeks in, 4 weeks to go, they're worried that they're craving bad food. And I'm sure that this happens to a lot of people. You know, the 112-day challenge was always set up to challenge you for 112 days to bring about some significant changes in your life, to create some new habits. And there's a number of 21-day periods in that 112 days that, you know, could assist you in changing a whole bucket load of habits in your life to create long-term lasting change. But the 112-day challenge, by any means, is not long enough to last your whole life unless you only want to live for 112 days. And so my suggestion's always been that you should continue your 112-day challenge on for the rest of your life. And where you need extra support, then, you know, you would have done the 112-day challenge. And this is the last 112-day challenge that we'll ever do. So you should be milking the support that you've got available to you, the calls, online, all the websites, all that sort of stuff. You know, make the most of it, because that's the stuff that's, you know, really going to help you cement these changes. That's really what you want to be trying to achieve in this 112 days. But don't expect that in 12 weeks all of the bad stuff's going to disappear, because there's so much to do. You've got so much to unravel, so much to let go of, years and years and years, decades in many cases, of habits that you've got to break through and flows you've got to get rid of.
And also, you know, if you think about Drew, one of the things that really hit home for me, it's, one really sad thing that hit home for me is that somebody who was fit and healthy and, focused all of his life, writes something and then everybody goes, oh, now we understand what it's about. When people have actually been verbalising and saying it, so therefore, the information's always been there, but unless you've experienced it, it's hard to understand, you know. Unless you've walked in somebody's shoes, I suppose, that thing. But also what really blows me away is, so he only did this to himself for 6 months. Imagine what it's like when it's been 30 or 40 years. So, you know, one of the things I want to say is a couple of things. Don't beat yourself up because of it. Don't let it be your excuse, though. And, you know, just focus forward. Another thing he talks about, and again, remember, I just skim read it so Damon, you can fill in the gaps. But he talks about, you know, that whole judgmental thing and people looking at people who are overweight or what they consider lazy, blah, 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 judging them. and, you know, the messages they give. But then he also talked about having supporters, those people who do give you a kick up the bum at the right moment and won't let you lay on the couch and will drag you off to the gym. Now, they're not the people who are criticising you. They're there actually supporting you. So the example I'll use, when I was getting near the end of my weight loss when I did that year, I had a woman who, for those last 6 weeks, she knew that I had some mega challenges with Gary being unwell and all sorts of things going on. Now, she was at my gate at 6 o'clock every morning, and we ran every day for 15Ks religiously for those 6 weeks, and it really helped me get through because she was my supporter, not my criticizer. So just think about when you've got people in your life, you know, which role do they hold? And I read somebody, you know, if it's on Facebook, it must be true. But somebody who runs a business, she wrote on her wall tonight, she said, I just love it when somebody who works in a job gives me advice on my business. So just be careful and translate that into weight loss. Be careful of somebody giving you advice, you know, no matter how well they mean it, because often somebody will say something and just flick it out there and it will sit with you for ages, you know. It sits with you and you replay it in your head and replay it as a criticism. Just let it go and do what you need to do. Find the supporters and stay away from the criticizers.
That's it. Remember in the early days, we used to talk about trying to surround yourself with people that would support you, the ones that would carry you across the line, the people who are going to protect you from the bows and the arrows that the mudslingers would throw at you. Do you know, we used to talk about all that sort of stuff?
Yes, we did. Yeah.
It's one of those things, we haven't spoken about that for such a long period of time, have we? But it's one of those fundamental things that we kind of want to, you know, reinforce, that you need to be, you know, surrounding yourself not just with positive people, but people that are going to support you. So there's people that will be with you in the thick and through the thick and the thin. But, you know, you only need one person who strays from that to really rip the guts out of it. And so it's your choice to hang around with the people that you hang around with. And if you're going to hang around with people that actually put you in a dangerous situation, then that can really upset, you know, your future progress, you know, within health and well-being and your weight loss journey. So make sure you choose wisely, because if you hang around with stinking thinkers or people with craniodigital rectalitis, you know, the ones that always see that the cup is half empty, you know, if you're hanging around with those sorts of people, then that will rub off on you. It's interesting because there's a stat that says that you're 90% more likely to be overweight if you hang out with overweight people. How's that? I'm trying to argue with that. And you're 80% more likely to be an alcoholic if you hang out with alcoholics. So, and the saying goes to smokers, or you become, the saying, birds of a feather flock together, that's the truth. And so you've got to, you know, make choices to, you know, sometimes cut people loose out of your life who you think might actually pull you back into that trap of where you used to be. Don't be afraid to do that. It's just part of what you've got to do to live a healthy, long life.
Yeah. And I was going to say before you said something about, you know, get all you can out of these last, I think there's about 14 weeks to go. I mean, Hayley loves replying to emails. So if you feel, you know, Tuesdays is the day that you flick off your email to us in the morning. And also, you know, you're welcome on a Tuesday to pick up the phone and give us a call in the office. But if you're feeling in between, you just need to reach out for either for a kick or a hug. I was going to say cuddle, but, you know, kick or cuddle. You know, feel free to email because, you know, Hayley does always check with us, and she does know a lot of stuff, so she's there for you on the end. Now, the other thing that came up today is I noticed some people sending in their weights and, you know, saying how their week gone, and some people were saying things like, well, in the afternoon, every afternoon I end up, you know, that's the time I fall off, and I end up reaching for the crackers and the you know, whatever it is. So, you know, one of my suggestions is when you're writing your food diary, write your mood diary as well. You know, find out what it is that you're actually doing at that time of day and what's actually going on, because there might be some triggers that you could then help yourself by avoiding some choices that you have to make. So, you know, it could be, having your lunch a little bit later, it could be having a snack that's available if that's the time that you really, really feel that you need something, could be changing some routine, could be going for a walk. I don't know, but if you write a food and mood diary, you may just find out what that trigger is.
Yeah, nice. The food and mood diary. What a good idea. That's a great idea. Have you ever done that, Lucy?
No, but I just noticed today a couple of them coming across, and I thought what it is people are actually not talking about. They're talking about what happens to them at a certain time of day, and unless I'm sitting next to them, I can't actually see what those triggers or what actually happens. but they're actually saying it in their email that, you know, at this particular time of day, I do this or I do that. I get so far into my day, and this is the time that it happens. So there has to be something around that time. The other thing is you've got to just be careful about, you know, thinking, what do we talk about? You know, it's a habit of the mind, thinking that you need to do something at a certain time too. You know, it's like smokers when they get on the phone or something, they think they have to light up a cigarette. So just being careful of that. But, I mean, your body is responding to your choices as well. That's the other thing. So, you know, your choice, your body shows up what your choices are. So just be mindful of that. You might even want to say that every time you do something, you know, my body's responding to my choices. So what's the choice that I'm going to make right now? Don't try not to think about delaying as well, because a lot of people think, oh, I'm just not going to do that for an hour. Well, you've just told yourself in an hour's time, then you've got to start thinking about it and deciding if you're going to, you know, resist it again. And another thing that came through in some of the emails today was that some people are treating this like an upstream experience, like they're just swimming against the current instead of a downstream experience. Like if you just go with the flow, you know, it's like choose your hard. Putting on weight is hard. Losing weight is hard. You know, eating unhealthy is hard. Eating healthy is hard when you first make that change. So you just got to choose your hard, because both of them take the same amount of energy, but one has different results.
That's true. It's actually, well, isn't it interesting? I wonder whether or not, and I don't know if there's any research into this, so maybe there is actually somebody who I might interview on the Wellness Guys for this one. Her name is Deanna Minich, and she talks about the amount of extra energy you get with you know how, I talk about energy in food, Bricky? You know how I talk about how there's an energy source in food that's not fuel, so it's not actually calories. It's the energetic principle of food.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Diana is doing the research into that, and I wonder whether or not if you smile more, whether or not that helps you generate more energy. I wonder. Wouldn't that be interesting?
Well, yeah, and also when I was talking about that food mood diary thing, you know, when we're in a good mood, everything is so much easier. So obviously if somebody is experiencing something at the same time of day, there must be some trigger that's affecting their mood. Therefore, you know, it triggers a whole lot of other things that happen. So when we feel good, everything's so much easier. Most people who say that they're an emotional eater or they tie their emotions to eating, it will be around sadness, not happiness. So it'll be around being miserable, it'll be around being angry, it'll be around feeling rejected, it'll be around, so it's all those negative feelings that it's around. You know, you don't often, or I don't hear of anybody or see on the, you know, how they portray stereotypes in movies, you don't often see somebody get a big bucket of ice cream out of the freezer with a spoon, it's very American, and start eating a whole bucket of ice cream when they've just had something fantastic happen. It's normally when something terrible's happened, you know, and they're consoling themselves, so... you know, just be aware of your mood. And again, it's a choice. So you get up in the morning, you actually get to choose what sort of day you're going to have. You're going to have people around you who try to drag you down, bring you down. You just got to be like Teflon and let some of that stuff slip off you. Go to work if you work with some drainers. You know,
that's
just choose your guys.
Good number four.
Sorry, can you say that again? You're a bit echoey.
Oh, like a number four. You want a number four.
Was that the poo? A
slippy poo? That's the Teflon coated, the ghost one. You want that sort of stuff just to slip off you. That's right. You know what I'm saying.
Awesome.
You know what I'm saying.
In the same sentence. That's great. All right. I don't know if it's Johnny or Julie. Johnny and Julie have got some questions. Yes, I did have a nice holiday. Thanks very much. They're asking... as long as you have your portion sizes right, is there anything that you can be eating too often in a week, e.g. pumpkin, crunchy beans, etc.? So they're asking an overabundance of one particular food.
Well, probably not. Like, if you're going to choose foods from your list within the 112-day challenge, and then, you know, you stick to your body type for the long term, then you'll probably find that you're not going to overeat anything in particular. But what I find particularly interesting is that when we eat one particular food over a long period of time, and a lot of it, and then we get stressed or we have an infection or a major immune challenge or something like that, a death in the family, whatever, you know, something significant. If we have something like that, then we can actually mount an immune response to the proteins that are in that food. So it's best to have varied food going into your diet. So a lot of variation, a lot of different types of flavors, a lot of different types of colors, rather than just the one thing over and over and over again. The challenge with having one thing over and over again is that you have potential to mount an immune response, an inappropriate immune response to that food. And then, so you know, you hear some people, they've had dairy their whole life, and then all of a sudden they become dairy intolerant. It's that same thing. Or they've been eating peanuts their whole life, and all of a sudden they get a nut allergy. So they get this over-responsive, sympathetic nervous system immune response to the chosen proteins that they're eating, and the amount of response that's now inappropriate. And that, you could run into a bit of challenge there if you're eating only the one type of food a lot. But if you're getting lots of variety, which I suspect that you guys are, Julie and Johnny, because you're both getting such amazing results, then you know, I think that if you're having lots of crunchy beans, it's going to be fine. If you're having lots of kumara or pumpkin, you're going to be fine. I don't think it's going to be too much of an issue at all. Long-winded answer, that one. How about that?
No, that's good. Great. Just trying to follow in my footsteps. Another question from Johnny and Julie. When reading the labels, which numbers should we focus on to make a good choice, e.g. on a sweet chili sauce bottle, to make sure you get the best one? Which numbers?
What should you be looking for? Well, sweet chili sauce tends to have a lot of sugar in it, doesn't it? You know, so it's not... you might have pear extract, or you might have apple extract, or you might have... agave syrup, or you know, whatever else, it might just have sugar in it. That's the stuff you've got to be careful of. If it hasn't got sugar in it and it's a sweet chili sauce, it's likely to have an artificial sweetener. And so that could be 951, which is aspartame. It could be a stevia type sweetener. It could be erythritol, which is the alcohol of fructose, which the jury's out on, by the way. Nobody really knows whether or not that's actually good for you. There's a lot of debate surrounding it, so it may not be good. But any numbers, you kind of want to try and avoid all numbers if you can. Do you know, if I put on a sweet chili sauce recipe, I put on a chili sauce recipe, didn't I, on the 112-day challenge website, Phyllis? I'm sure there is.
I'm not sure. I'll have to get Hayley to check. Hayley, can you check that, and
yeah.
We'll send it out.
Mm.
Sending a message as well. The other thing too, I don't remember where I read this, but things in bottles, it says, go for more things that are a plant rather than out of a plant. So as in a factory.
Mm. Yeah, that's nice. Nice play on words, Briggsy. That's pretty good.
I know. Can't even remember where I read that.
You're on fire.
Gotta remember that one. Mm. So yeah, a plant rather than a
tree.
Kieran from Palmerston North has asked, I realise dried fruit, etc., can have added sulfates or sugars and is not always fresh. If you dry it yourself either in an oven or a dehydrator, is that okay for using in times when carrying fresh food may not be practical, i.e. on long bike rides or tramping?
Yeah, nice. I think it's a good idea. The challenge, again, is the sort of fruit that you choose. So you wouldn't choose bananas to dehydrate. You could choose oranges. You could choose kiwi fruit. You could choose perhaps some pears or some apples. And but, again, just because you're actually better off having some nuts and seeds than actually having your dehydrated fruit when you're going out on a bike ride, or you're going out on a run or on a long walk. But if you've got to have something sweet, then you're better off using your own dehydrator to make your dried fruit. But just choose your fruits wisely, that's all.
Mm. And I suppose the other thing that could happen when you're dehydrated or you're using dried fruits is you actually consume more than you would have, because they're...
Potentially. They
come in much smaller volume, don't they? They shrink down, so therefore...
You're left with a big sugar packet, essentially, because you take out all of the water, and all you're left with is just this, 100% of the weight of what you're about to eat is carbohydrate, generally. Almost pretty much literally. It's not even practically. It's literally. It's 100%. It's just going to be carbohydrate, because there's no water left. So you're just left with the sugar and the fiber and the cellulose structure. So you're actually now eating food that is richer in carbohydrate than what it was before when it had water in it.
That's kind
of so you've got to be a little bit careful of it.
Mm. So that's another good plan, Woods. Too dense a food might make us a little bit dense.
Well, I say that. I do. I think you might have stolen that one from me, Brucey, because I actually say that dumb food makes you make dumb decisions. So, dumb food makes you dumb.
Wow. Yeah, you got that one off
Dumb food makes you dumb.
Yep.
I got that from you watching you. That's what it was. I got it from watching you.
There was actually a research thing that I sent you about it, and it was you were like, yeah, now it's confirmed. Oh my goodness, let's track back on Facebook.
I will.
Oh my goodness. I'm going to have to get Hayley to go back through the Facebook conversation. Anyway, Tracy said there's not a sweet chilli recipe on the site. There's a curry paste type recipe, which is yum. So I'll get you to give it to Hayley if you can, Damien, and we'll get it up and send it out.
Ooh, okay. Well, the sweet chilli sauce, I had to think about it because it actually, I do have a sweet chilli sauce recipe, and it is in the Golden Door cookbook, but it does contain a fair bit of sugar, and it does concern me because I don't think I will give it just because I don't really want people to have sweet chilli sauce at this stage, not in the 112-day challenge. But long term, yeah, go for gold. But go and buy yourself the Golden Door cookbook. That's one of the best things to do.
Great. All righty. So what other I made some little notes. What else? Got a couple of minutes. So funny thing, I was also watching The Dog Whisperer the other day. I'm not even a dog liker. But one of the things he was talking about was the whole energy thing as well. He's such a very intelligent person. I was quite blown away. I was only just coming, 20 minutes. But one of the things he talked about was, if you put exercise with discipline, you get that equals the affection. So he was talking about people trying to get their animals to, love them more and be happy within themselves. And I thought that's interesting because, if you give yourself exercise along with discipline, it actually shows, self-love for yourself. So, you're being affectionate to yourself. I thought it was kind of cool. Someone said, what's the Golden Door recipe book, Tracy? The Golden Door is a health retreat in Australia on the Gold Coast, is it, Damien?
Yeah, it's on the Goldie. It's on the Gold Coast. It's a beautiful place to go. Like, if you ever want to go away on a nice retreat, to refresh, regenerate. Their food philosophy is different to my food philosophy. You go there, it's all vegetarian, so you starve your guts out, but you have a really good detox. So I reckon vegetarianism is really good for detoxification, but not good for long-term health and well-being. I don't think that vegetarian is the way to go. But if you want to go there, it's great. But the book is called Simply Golden Door. Or maybe it's Purely Golden Door. It's either Simply Golden Door or Purely Golden Door, but it's unreal. It's a beautiful cookbook, and I've got a lot of recipes out of there in the past, and I highly recommend that you go and check it out because it's a great resource for great recipes.
Talking about the whole vegetarian retreat thing, I did one in the Coromandel, and eating like that for a weekend was actually painful in my bowels and my stomach, and it was just awful. you had to room with somebody, and we were both, we both had really upset stomachs for the weekend, and both came away weighing heavier. Beautiful experience and a lovely retreat, but some of the food was quite challenging. So, vegetarian. It's 9 o'clock, finishing up, but I just want to say, basically choices are your daily challenges, so minimise the amount of choices that you've got to make, so therefore it also minimises the amount of challenges that you're going to face.
Nice. I like that. That's a nice way to finish off, Bricky. I like it a lot. Hey, congratulations to everybody who, who's really digging in, and well done, those people. It's wonderful to see they're getting great results and to hear the results. Amazing results from you, Johnny. I'm blown away with the results you've been getting. And that's just awesome. And I think, maybe next week we can share your results and let people know what you've actually been up to. Just let us know if that's okay. But your results at week 3 blew my socks off. I couldn't believe it. Have you read them, Briggsy?
Yeah. So he's doing pretty well, and even when he thinks he's not doing well, he's still doing well. So, you know, it's great. It's awesome.
Yeah, it is. It's wonderful. So have a great week, everybody, and thanks so much for tuning in tonight. It's always an entertaining call with Phyllis on the line, isn't it? I find it very entertaining. And we'll catch up with you next week.
See you, everybody.